it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We'll get to the sound from one golfer who thought she was just, you know, pulling a little prank on her caddy. We'll get to that. But some more information regarding Baker Mayfield. All right, I saw your video you sent me. But Baker also talked to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. And he only got a two-year deal as far as an offer from the Bucks. They didn't give him a long-term commitment. And Baker, it appears, wasn't even going to be in the $50 million club. Maybe he was more in the Daniel Jones club. And it's not a club Baker wants to be in.
No. It's a little disrespectful. I'll
be Daniel Jones got 8 games, and he only played 8 games, really, and got $44 million from the Colts. Baker has been pretty good for the Bucks, and yeah, they were like, nah.
Daniel Jones has played, like, I don't know, 20 good NFL games in his life. Right? Like, the first 8 games of last season, and then that one Brian Daboll playoff season that they had in New York. Yeah. Even then, it was a lot of, like, training wheels kind of stuff on that offense. But, like, I don't know. I'm Baker effing Mayfield. Give me my bread. What would the Bucks be doing if it wasn't for Kyle Trask? You want to live the Kyle Trask life? I don't know why I'm acting like Baker Mayfield's agent here, but.
I think you feel
it's crazy.
I think you, it's crazy, you you're a man of the people, and you feel like your guy is getting disrespected.
My guy, Baker, famously my guy.
You sound like he's your guy. You sound like you're
Mayfield. Hello,
you sound like your Mayfield muse right now. That's what you sound like. So Baker Mayfield being disrespected by the Bucks, and right now far away from a deal. So it looks like the Bucks and Baker may be coming to some type of separation. Unless Baker Mayfield wows them this year and they feel forced to pay him, I don't think that Baker's going to work with him very much. He would want to stay, but he's going to take all he can as it stands right now if it comes to it.
Yeah, he's not taking a team-friendly deal this offseason.
He's not working with them so they can fit other guys under the cap if he has the power to make that determination.
If he has the season he thinks he can have, and there's offers out there to be a starter that are more like he's not. Ty is not going to
not
you
the
know,
Bucks. They're going to have to come over the top.
We bought a house in Tampa. I really, me and my wife want to raise.
You know
our
that extra couple
Tampa.
Mil per year I'm getting from whoever the moving fees.
Yeah,
you know,
also,
be fine.
Middle finger. I'm out of
here. Yeah, I'm out of here. F you guys. You can start Kyle Trask now if you want to. All right, let's hear from a prankster, and we can determine whether we think this is just a good old prank or something that should be putting you in a spot where you have ruined a relationship with your caddy. Let's play the clip. I'll tell you who it is afterwards. So I don't want it to cloud your opinion. Here is a golfer talking about a prank she pulled.
And it's good because I love playing for money, I'm not going to lie. Like, that's why I think I play so well in the majors, because even if I'm quite a lot behind, I'm like, come on, Adzis, and make loads of birdies today, extra dollars for me and him to get. Actually, talking of money today, I was in the, went to a prank shop in Blackpool last night, and I got some scratch cards, So we go into the players' lounge this morning, and I was like, "Oh, Rad, I got some scratch cards from the shop." He was like, "Oh, yeah." And this one was like $100,000. And we've got it all on record. He's like scratching it, scratching it, scratching it. He's like, "Oh my gosh, I've won." He's taking his hat off. He's taking his glasses off. He's literally running around the players' lounge saying, "I've won $100,000. I'm taking today off." His face looks so happy. He was sweating. He was trembling. He couldn't believe his luck. And then we have to tell him it was fake, and he nearly quit the job. I got it all on camera, to be fair. I try and find it and I'll send it to somebody, but it is just absolutely hilarious. Like, I don't know if you guys can see, this was his reaction when he thought he won £100,000, and it was just hilarious. I think, like, he's like high-fiving everybody.
If you notice, no one laughed so when funny. She told the story.
Like, I swear to God, I can't believe I won 100 grand.
She was laughing by herself.
Now I've got to have my backup because I don't know what he's going to score.
And then she's showing people the video. And then she got some sympathy. Laughs. No one. It's, Sean. Funny or not funny?
Not funny.
It's not funny.
Also.
By the way, this is not one of your buddies. Like, you could pull this prank on your buddy. He works for you.
Yeah.
He works for you. It's not. That's not the prank you pull on someone who works for you.
No.
And you heard her talk about how much money means to her. She said that, hey,
yeah,
I play better when there's more money on the line.
I value money.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's Charlie Hull, if you can't tell, an English golfer, if you couldn't tell by the accent. But that's Charlie Hull,
yeah.
English golfer, and that's a prank she pulled on her caddy. You don't do that to an employee.
No. I what's with England and these prank shops, by the way?
I didn't know that. Exclusively pranks.
Blackpool has a prank shop?
Apparently they do. Apparently they do, Sean.
All right. Okay. I thought that was just a thing that the Weasley twins opened up in Harry Potter. I didn't know that was an actual business, sustainable business.
Where do you think they got
model?
The idea from,
I guess,
Sean?
I guess.
Which came first, the Weasley twins and their prank shop, or just English prank
there
shops?
There must be an English prank shop
guess
culture that I don't understand.
It had to be written in the books because it was a thing in England.
Yeah, it's
prank
realism.
Shops.
I mean, it's great. Also, $100,000 is a lot of money.
It's a nice chunk, yeah.
But it's also, they are professional golfers, or she's a professional golfer, he's a caddy for
know what a caddy makes. What does a caddy make per year?
I think normally, I wish Granado was here. There is like some standard tip that you're supposed to give, or when you're a professional golfer, and you win a major or you know, whatever you place, it's like, I think it's like 15% is like the, because I only know this because certain golfers get in trouble for only
not,
tipping like
not doing
4%.
That. Yeah.
But I think it is like 10% of the winnings.
So if I go by what always reliable AI overview says,
mm-hmm.
Professional golf caddies on elite tours make a base salary of $1,500 to $4,000 per week, plus a percentage, as you mentioned, of tournament winnings, bringing total annual earnings to anywhere from $100,000 for average tour loopers to over $1 million for caddies working with top players. I don't know where Charlie Hull ranks on the women's tour, so her caddy could be making quite a bit of money, or he could be on the lower end.
Yeah,
Either way, 100 grand is 100 grand. That certainly is something you're going to love to have until she tells you, sorry, tricked you. I don't even know. I know why 100 grand is a prank, because you want to be, I guess, a little cruel, and you want to film it. First, you trick me into thinking I win 100K. Then you film me.
Yeah, not cool. Not cool.
Not cool, Charlie.
Seventh in the world.
Okay, so she's a really good golfer,
yeah.
And she's likely making plenty of money. And that caddy, if he has been her caddy for years, is bringing down a good chunk. But you, as you could tell, the 100K was something he was really looking forward to until she took it away from him.
Yeah.
I don't know how close they are. That could certainly play a part. But if it's me,
nah,
it's up for life.
Yeah.
Even if I got to work with you because I got to make a living and feed myself and my family, I never forget. It's never a thing I forget.
Yeah. Maybe on 14, it should be a 3-wood.
See, that's the thing.
I'm going with the
7-iron.
You
can't hurt her because you... You take a portion of her winnings. So can't really do it in that way. But in the back of my mind, I'm always going to know you're the person who did it to me.
Yeah.
And if I have a chance to leave, I'm leaving.
Oh, if Nelly Korda?
If Nelly Korda comes calling.
If a spot on Nelly Korda's back.
I'm definitely leaving because she's a better golfer.
Yeah,
and she didn't pull that stupid prank on me.
Yeah. No, this is – I also don't – It makes it a little worse that, like, there's no question teeing this up. We cut it out, but I assume the question was just like,
no, she was, yeah, like, I think she was just talking about,
like, yeah, I play well when there's money on the line.
Yeah,
like,
and then she goes, speaking of money, I did this.
Speaking of how much I love money.
I'm going to.
I gave someone the hope of making $100,000 and ripped it
away.
Look,
I just explained to you how much I value money. It affects my performances. Now let me show you how little I think of how much he might think about money.
Yeah.
Or I know he likes money a lot, and I'm going to trick him into thinking he's just got $100K. I don't know.
Not great.
I don't
not
know
great.
Charlie Hill, but she's on my bleep list. I'm rooting against her in all tournaments.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I mean, I got to pay attention. That's in question.
Yeah.
But if like, we were at a women's event a couple, maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah,
now?
Chevron.
We were there. I didn't know that Charlie Hull had this in her bag. I definitely would have rooted against her then.
So now you have a rooting interest when John brings up LPGA.
If he brings up GPA golf, I'm like,
Hull shoot? Did seven
Hull,
over?
Did
good.
Hull bogey on hole nine to ruin her chances? To miss the cut?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. She's got an enemy for life. Maybe not that caddy, but definitely me.
Like those guys that are chirping Rory at the Masters, that's you at the Chevron Classic.
Charlie, will I do that chant? Yeah, I will. I mean, it's not golf etiquette. I'm sure I get thrown off the course, but from home.
You definitely would, yeah.
But from home.
Oh, yeah.
Rooting against her.
Yeah.
It won't be a subject matter on the show because, come on. But still.
Yeah, no. She'll have to tell another story.
She's got an enemy for life. Me. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how she does the rest of the way. Sure, I'm sure it'll affect her greatly. 100K. Come on. Don't play that game with me.
Do you think she's getting, like, hate for this? Has she?
The reason I saw it is because someone who got 22,000 likes said, that bleep ain't funny. That's bullcrap. But he used BS. That's the only reason I saw it. So clearly, it is hitting people in a way that says, no one thinks that's funny. I'm telling you, the clip, the people who she was talking to did not think it was funny. She was the only one laughing, and then I think she showed the video, and some people chuckled. Because even, we know, in this town, guys will make jokes, and they'll get the courtesy media laugh. Mm-hmm. She didn't even get that. So I don't think many people thought it was funny.
No.
Good luck to everyone but Charlie Hull on the tour.
Yep. I'm looking at the pretty awful person behavior here.
I know. Yeah. Why would that bring people on her side?
I just wanted to know.
I think for the most part, no one likes a rich person lording money over someone else. That's just how it goes. Good luck, Charlie. Or not. All right, we'll go to break. We got
this lady is evil.
See?
That has only 300 likes. Yeah, you know what? 319 now.
Yeah. I don't know. She probably won't have to apologize. I'm sure that's not going to be a thing. But perhaps filter your stories. What did you see?
I hope he sticks a banned substance in one of her water bottles. Then films are opening the drugs cheat letter.
Suspended. Charlie Hill's been suspended for a year from the LGPA or the LPGA.
Yeah, okay.
Or the LPGA.
I've not seen one that's like,
no
LOL.
No one's defending this.
I just, you never know. You never know.
No, I just don't. It's not funny. I think that's her bigger problem. Beyond the joke, it's just not funny.
This is the most level-headed one I can find. This is pretty messed up, period. That's about as
no one's
neutral.
He didn't call her evil. he isn't just spiking her drink to get her suspended from the tour. Yeah. So if you happen
this
to
is evil, what the hell?
Yeah, if you happen to tune into the LPGA, no. There's someone that a lot of the golf world now thinks is evil. Charlie Hull. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join the show, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we get back. So John and I were talking this morning about the offensive line. It is, if not the biggest question, besides CJ Stroud, one of the biggest questions in how this team will be better than last year. And Kalen Rutledge is the the hope for most people to start at center. You're looking for an improvement over Jake Andrews through at least the first day. I don't know how the media is reporting the second day. Through the first day, that is still going to be a battle, whether that's just a little hat tip to Jake Andrews that we're just not going to give this job to Rutledge and you're going to get a chance to fight, or is it actually a competition? We'll see as training camp goes.
Is he the Kirk Cousins of centers?
Well, Kirk Cousins is supposed to play, and they're just going to hold off. For weeks.
Yeah.
Not a long time, but the thought, at least coming out of the Raiders, is that Cousins will play, Mendoza will sit, and then at some point, now I'm extrapolating, at some point, Mendoza will take that job.
Okay.
I don't feel it's the same. I don't think they're just going to let Jake Andrews play against the Bills and then take the job away from him. Right now, from the media, although they have to be very careful, they can't report exactly what's going on. You can tell by what they're dancing around that Jake Andrews is still very much in the mix for that job, at least to us in the first couple of days of training camp. So here's CJ Stroud. He did a sit down with Evan Washburn of CBS Sports. Talked about a lot of things: his contract, his focus going forward for the 2026 season, but also got to the offensive line. So he talked about all the guys, really, but here are his specific thoughts on Rutledge.
I think first he has to be himself. You know, I know it's different, it's new for him, but he has to find, you know, things that he's comfortable with doing. And I think, you know, but also pushing himself to, you know, try new things. But I think most of all, he has to be himself. Like, he got drafted in the first round for a reason, you know, and everything I've seen, you know, he's a first round talent. He's tough. He reminds me of my guys that I had in college. It's like, doesn't stop playing until
dudes.
He hears a whistle. Yeah. Like but just more than just talent, just like effort and, you know, trying to, like, you know, play to the whistle. Even if he's wrong, he's going 1,000%. So, you know, he's a great guy, somebody who, you know, faith-based guy who relies on God. So I think, you know, that'll definitely help him in his rookie season, and I'm here for him.
So if he wins that job, whether right or wrong, I think people just feel much better about how this offensive line is shaking out. Even if it is a thing where Jake Andrews is clearly better. First, then you point to Nick Caserio saying he made a mistake, whether this was an immediate starter in their eyes or someone they saw in season two would take that job. So it's not fair to really either party. I mean, not that we need to be fair to Caserio, but I'm not gonna call it the wrong pick if Rutledge doesn't win that job. But I feel like everyone is saying that has to happen, mostly because Jake Andrews has been underwhelming.
That's what it is. It's like not a great sign if he can't, again, not be a good, the bar isn't be a good starting NFL center.
It's better than Jake Andrews.
The bar is better than Jake Andrews. And you would hope that even just with the obvious talent advantage he should have over Andrews, that's like, even if the fine points of NFL centering
when you say that, are we taking it for granted how difficult it is to make the transition? Because the assumption is a guy who's never played it at a competitive level, certainly not in college, maybe he did in high school, I don't know, is just going to take the job from, while Andrews ain't great, he was the set starter for at least a season. I don't remember how did he play much in 2024 or at all? I don't remember how that worked out.
Yeah.
But he was the starter in 2025. So we're just a center thing. We just assume you can take on and play it at let's say average level without ever doing it before. I know guards make that transition. I know it happens. I know it happens.
Yeah.
But normally the guard in question has at least a little experience. I think maybe the transition from guard to center from college to pro happens all the time for guys who don't take snaps there, at least not in games. But it's an interesting assumption we're all making, and the Texans in some way are making that assumption too.
I mean, it's also just like a offensive line thing of like
we don't know how hard it is. We just assume.
Or how easy.
It
could
just be
something where it's like, if, you know, all you need to do is know the protections. You should know it as a guard.
And be able to snap a football.
Yeah, you should know the, you know, it's a little bit of like the receivers – There's some receivers that know the whole play. There's some receivers that only are like, well, I know this part of the play call is my route, so I only know that part. Where it's like, if you're a guard, like, you probably should know what's happening, you know, 2 feet to your left. If you're a right guard, like, you should just be aware of what the center is having to do. So there's probably some of that. But again, even if, like, just snap the ball. And then post-snap, it's like, you should be better than Jake Andrews post-snap. The pre-snap, we'll see. But post-snap, then you are just blocking guys.
So just to clean it up, Andrews was claimed off of waivers by the Texans in April of 2025. So he wasn't on a team in 24. Then he came in to start for them all of last year in 25. I bring it up because I hear about guards to guard, and left and right is difficult. Some guys feel like they're playing backwards if they have to switch over to the other guard spot. So maybe center is the easier transition as opposed to playing left to right guard. The hope is the Texans are right and they got an improvement, and Jake Andrews can be a push back to a depth piece at the center spot that you'll have on the roster just in case Rutledge gets hurt. But as of now, that's still an open job.
I have a little bit of the reservation, or at least I had more even than you have. But I think it was during the World Cup we're doing shows all over the place, and I was doing a show with DJ Bienname, and DJ was just like, yeah, whatever.
he was waving it off.
He was very much like, he should still win the job.
Okay,
like he was very like, it's not going to be some insurmountable thing for him to win the job. And normally I kind of think that DJ is more like, hey, everyone calm down. This is hard. This is much harder than it looks. Like he's the one being like, he has to be better than Jake Andrews.
So it was basically Jake Andrews isn't very good. That job you should just be able to take.
Yeah,
so,
and just like the complexities, again, like kind of what I was saying, like the complexities, they're the same if you are the right guard. Like there's not that big of a gap of
so responsibility. Now I know if he doesn't beat out Jake Andrews,
then
that's
Casario,
a miss by Casario.
Out.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. Yeah. Not the complexity of the position is keeping him from doing it. Got it.
Yeah, or I mean, I'm sure there's some, but it's also like, I don't know. It is just the protections that you have to deal with. And is it a CJ? Is CJ going to do that? Is Rutledge going to do that? Is Andrews really good at doing that? Do we know if he's good at doing that? Like, I don't know.
Well, the reputation for him coming in was New England cut him. The Texans signed him because of their connection there. He can possibly be a guy who would play, right? And it turns out he played. So, pedigree isn't really there for Jake Andrews. He's a body they grabbed, and he was the best of some bad options, and he wound up winning the job. Now they have invested quite a bit in the spot, and it's expected, understood, for the guy who is physically more gifted and is your first-round pick to take that job, if he was a college guard.
Although, you know, being a first-round Texans pick.
Kenyon Green. No.
Kenyon Green, I mean, we talked about him yesterday. Blake Fisher was a second-round pick, where it's just like,
yeah, they have missed.
Just because you're drafted high.
There's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And that, I think that plays a part in my thinking.
Juice Scruggs, wasn't he a second-round pick?
I don't. Maybe.
Yeah, Patterson was the sixth-round pick. I think Scruggs.
Yeah, that I will admit, Casario's whiffs do play a part in my reservations about just handing the job to a top pick at offensive line.
Yeah, yeah, that it's certainly fair to just kind of be eyebrow raised at anyone that they pick at offensive line.
Yeah, until proven otherwise. All right, DJ says it's easy or easy enough. I'll take him at his word.
It was more like he's not worried about it.
Okay. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Good enough for me.
All right. That was my exact reaction too, where I was like, I kept asking follow-ups and he was like, nah. It's... I was like, okay, sure.
All right. We'll keep it moving then. We'll go to break. We'll do some college football when we come back, as while Texans camp is certainly underway, we're getting ever closer to college camps as well, because the first game is late August. Depending on who your team is, maybe they're playing in week zero, maybe they're playing in week one. My team's going to Palo Alto for a game. We'll see what the PD have to say about the Miami Hurricanes there when they get there. Hey, just be as lenient as you are with Kyle Shanahan. If anything goes down, I just like the same type of leniency you show the Kyle Shanahan. You know what?
Malachi Tony, step outside the car, please.
Don't make those jokes, Sean. Maybe a clerical error about a Jordan Scott. Perhaps. Hey. it was the other driver who created the problem, not my starting defensive tackle. All right, well, we will go to break and come back with some college football.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
So we have some news out of Texans camp. An injury. Jake Hansen went down, had to be carted off the field. According to everyone there, players taking knees, very somber, couldn't put weight on his knee. So that's another backup linebacker. We remember EJ Speed. His happened in the offseason. And it went from something where he might be able to come back to him being out for the year, I think, with EJ Speed. So another depth piece with their linebackers. So that depth takes a blow. Another depth piece gets hurt. As I've said a couple times, just part of camp, and you just hope the injuries are limited. And if they do happen, and this is just the business, you hope it happens to someone you weren't expecting to contribute in a major way. Now, Jake Hansen gets on the field. He'll play special team snaps as well. We don't know the extent of the injury, but being carted off the field, not being able to put weight on it, all the earmarks are something that could be long-lasting. So we hope for the best with Jake Hansen. All right, moving over to college football. The story surrounding Michael Lombardi at UNC, their general manager, he's taken a leave of absence, and they asked Bill Belichick about it. And as you might expect, Bill Belichick had an avoidance scenario take place where he wasn't going to comment on what's going on with Michael Lombardi. Okay.
He didn't talk at length about the details.
No, we're working through some things is what he said. During his presser today. But that was about football. When the reporters were told beforehand he wasn't going to talk about Lombardi, so they knew going in.
Okay.
We're not going to test the coach with any tough questions about his GM.
Normally, you know, when he was the coach of the Patriots, like, you still get asked the question. Then he goes,
we're on to whatever.
Yeah, go bleep yourself.
Yeah.
In college football, you can just have the SID be like, don't ask the hard question. They're like, got it.
So now they were more efficient than that. They put it in a statement for everyone to read. So the SID didn't have to talk directly. So as a result of concerns behind allegations that led to the personnel action regarding Michael Lombardi announced on July 27th, UNC, through its Office of University Counsel, is in the process of investigating the matter, which was to let everyone know. Bill ain't talking about this.
I mean, there is like some level of.
Yeah. I don't even know how much he could say or would be able to say, honestly.
Yeah.
And certainly he doesn't want to be involved. So we didn't get any news as Bill Belichick was available to the media today about his trusted right-hand man who was not only poor as far as evaluating talent, may have done something to bring shame upon the program. I just know coming from the reports and the comments from people, there wasn't high praise for Mike Lombardi as a man or as a evaluator.
Yeah, people weren't thrilled with his work last season.
No, and I think Bruce Feldman, chief among them, the words arrogance and incompetence were used as a way to describe Mike Lombardi. So that's tough. That's tough. Good luck, Tar Heels. I think that's over after this season. I think they're ripping off the Band-Aid. Bill Belichick will walk away from UNC and will have to be comforted with the fact that he is a great NFL coach. He'll have that. But we're leaning or running straight into failure as a college football coach.
Yeah.
Which it's not something he could have even imagined, and we knew at least for some of us who were paying attention, they thought they were going to walk into college football and kind of take it over.
Yeah.
The 33rd NFL team, I believe, was mentioned at some point.
That was a Lombardi
thing.
Yeah. That's partially why. It's like coming in, they were just like, yep, we'll take over this little thing and then be right back in the NFL, basically, is what they're.
A couple years here, use it as a platform to tell everyone.
Bill Cignetti can do it.
Bill still has it. And then they're going to be back in the pros. And Lombardi, I'm sure, would have traveled on the coattails back to an NFL job. But instead, he gets what he's gotten. And he may not be a member of that UNC staff for much longer. If you had to take your bets, it's probably over.
I think it's over for him.
Yeah, as far as he's concerned.
Over for Belichick in 6 months.
Do you think they fire him in season or they let that play out? If it goes the way you think it's going to go.
I think it's one of those, like, last two games of the season, it's like pretty obvious that it's ending, but he still coaches them and then resigns, like, whatever, that's Sunday after their last game. Well, I think he gets to resign, though. I don't think he gets fired.
That would be a great indignation if UNC football fires Bill Belichick before season two is over.
Yes, after they play Miami on Halloween. And at UConn, Louisville, at Virginia, NC State. Like, if you get fired because of your performance over that stretch.
Yeah, they'll have Billy Edwards at quarterback, the often transferred Billy Edwards, Wisconsin, Maryland, Wake Forest, and now UNC. He keeps dropping down. Like, the conferences, Big Ten to ACC, but also the teams in the conferences, he continues to drop down a level. And now he's at UNC playing quarterback.
Yeah.
A guy who didn't play very much in 2025. So he didn't play much for Wake Forest.
I thought you were going to say off injured because I think that's his problem.
Yes, that's been his major problem. That's why he has to keep transferring.
But also off transfer.
Yeah. So now he will take his talents, or he already has, to Chapel Hill, and they start with TCU again. But this time, not at home, on a neutral site or at a neutral site.
Yeah, in Ireland.
Yeah, I think we talked about that earlier. It's going to go poorly.
FPI has it as 51%
UNC?
No, TCU.
Okay. What am I thinking? Like, they're favored in something?
Yeah. It's close. It's
closer than I would have imagined. Yeah. But maybe the Ireland bump for the Tar Heels is a thing.
Yeah, it's a slightly shorter flight for them.
So I'm sure they'll have a great time.
Yeah, it's like a 3-hour shorter flight. Come on.
Good luck to anyone rooting for UNC. You're going to need it. Not exactly going well. A couple other things in college football. So ESPN put out teams poised to break through or bounce back. The Cougs are mentioned as a team because this was in reference to how good their season was last year and where their projection is this year. So, you know, the Cougs winning 10 games, a surprise for that Willie Fritz led program. Connor Wegman's back. They get Hughes, who Willie Fritz had at Tulane as their running back. He's got plenty of speed. Where would you project, or at least guess what the projection is? Big 12 schedule, not a lot out of conference. They do open up, I think, Big 12 play with Texas Tech in Lubbock on a Friday night.
It's tough draw.
So they went 10-3, which was much higher than their projection by SP. Yeah. This year,
they're 4-8 last year.
Yeah.
Or the year before.
The year before, 4-8. So certainly a large jump, certainly in terms of expectations and exceeding them. Most of the projections for the Cougs is about 7.5 wins, which I think would be disappointing to most Cougs fans. If they fall in line with what ESPN's or at least Bill Connolly's SP rankings have them at as about a 7.5 win team, 7-8 wins. That would be a clear, hey, shouldn't Keyshawn Henderson have been playing earlier?
Yeah, I think, or it's a Keyshawn Henderson is starting.
And things aren't going as well as you'd hope.
Yeah. Or they lose a game they shouldn't early, and then Keyshawn takes it over kind of deal. But, I'm looking at their schedule right now. I mean, I think 8-4 is doable, like very doable. And if they show what, you know, if they have that bounce back and remain there, then, I mean, 10 wins on the table as well. Like, Tech's the only game where I'm just like...
No chance?
Not no chance, but, like, very little chance. At Utah is another tough one. That's where why I can only go to 10-2. All the other ones, like, I'm not terrified of
going
this
through it. I mean, it's the Big 12, so the schedule's not tough. Schedule-wise, the conference isn't going to be a killer. And then you start to look at how it sets up. They don't really have, I would say, the deciding factor maybe between a 9-10 win season, even taking into account how good or bad you think Colorado and West Virginia are. Those back-to-back road games.
Yeah.
Now you get the extra day because the Colorado game's on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then you get an extra day to go to West Virginia. But that scenario is one that could be a little rough on them because they have Cincinnati at home. Short week going to Colorado, and then they have to go to West Virginia. Yeah. Just going to Morgantown in the year.
They can get you.
Yeah, what, Rich Rod is back, right?
Yep.
So that could get you. But other than that, you just look at how the schedule sets up. It's just even the scenarios about where games are, road to home, not to worry. It will be interesting. They do randomly have to go to Georgia Southern after playing Tech at home. That's one of those where – you just want to get out of there alive.
Is that like a Willie Fritz thing or something? Did no, because they hired him from Tulane.
Yeah. How does that come about?
Playing at Georgia? I guess, is that from when they were in the American and just still had it on the books now that they're I don't know.
Cougs. Schedule. Hey, pay them to not play.
Or at least come here and play.
What? Yeah, I don't know
why,
if it's
why
a whole,
are you going to Georgia
Southern? Yeah, I don't know why you're going to Georgia Southern. Why are you going to, what is it, Statesboro? Why are you going to Statesboro to play Statesboro. A football game after opening up your Big 12 schedule? That one, you hope Willie Fritz gets a handle on and go, no more of this. No matter how it goes. We're in the Big 12. We don't go to Statesboro to play a football game. They can come to us and we'll pay for them to show up, but I don't know what the connection is and why they're heading to Georgia Southern to play a football game.
83% chance to win.
I would hope so.
The FPI.
That's right in line with how I think about how that game should go. So the Cougs in the national conversation, they should be at least a contender for the Big 12 title game. As far as winning it, it's who knows who they'll face and how healthy they are. But Willie Fritz has done a really good job there, and the schedule is manageable. Don't lose to Georgia Southern is all we're saying.
No, cannot lose to Georgia Southern.
No, don't.
Your schedule is not manageable if you lose to Georgia Southern.
Then it turns into something else. If you're capable of losing to Georgia Southern,
then Kansas State looks
then
scary.
Then I can't rule anything out at
Oklahoma
that point.
Oklahoma State looks scary.
Yeah, well, you know, Oklahoma State is the team Keith says he thinks is going to have a big bounce back.
Yeah. And if they can split the at K-State at home against OK State, like, I think that's the goal for that stretch is a split. I think that doesn't kill you.
Yeah, and as we get closer to the season, we mentioned Willie Fritz. I would expect him to join John and Lance throughout the year.
Okay. Tell him not to lose to Georgia Southern.
I don't think I have to. Okay. I think he knows.
Okay.
I think his team knows, and I think he knows. Now, it is coming out of the Texas Tech game, so if they're banged up, if they're distracted, who knows? But be ready for anything.
Or, you know, a trap game after beating Texas Tech.
That too. However it goes in that game.
It
could be one where they're feeling really good about themselves, and they have to go travel to Statesboro, which I'm going to assume a lot of the players didn't know existed. I've been through Statesboro on the way to Augusta from Florida.
Yeah. They're probably thinking they're going to Atlanta. I will say that.
Yeah. Is the game scheduled? Did they get the game moved to Atlanta?
No. I looked. It is in Statesboro.
Tough. Texas would have never.
Back in the day, they did. They played at Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. Mac Brown basically treated it as like a tour. Like,
hey, you guys want to see something cool?
Yeah, like they went and opened up UCF's stadium.
I remember that too.
Yeah, they would go.
Like Texas was like the road show.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to see the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
Texas will travel the country.
Want to see Colt McCoy from Jason City?
I remember that era of Texas football where they could do that and not be worried. Oh, just go to you. We'll open up your stadium. Yeah. We'll beat your ass in your new stadium. We'll do that. You want to see us in Wyoming? We'll do that too.
Yeah.
No worries. up until recently, that had changed.
Yeah.
You're not just rolling out to the outskirts of outpost in college football and taking Texas to it. But now they
fun guy Mac Brown.
Yeah, I just he was the steward of the sport.
He really was.
When would Wyoming ever see Texas? Unless Mac Brown allowed
it. It's absurd.
It is absurd. UCF has certainly grown in its acclaim since that point. But even that,
I think they're Conference USA when that happened.
Yeah, but even that, what is Texas doing in Orlando playing a football game?
At least that one kind of makes sense of, like, you know,
making a trip, recruiting in Florida. There's yeah. nothing, I don't know what you're doing in Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Because even Josh Allen played in California in high school.
You must have been doing someone a favor.
Yeah, I don't know who in that athletic department in Wyoming knew Mac Brown and got that done. But Texas went there. Never again, I imagine, is that going to happen. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So Art sent me something I saw circulating. I'll throw it up right now, Sean. We can get to it. It's Bryce Harper and Don Mattingly having a back and forth about what should be done for the Phillies as they try to improve as a team. If we remember, the Phillies were terrible. They fired their manager. They brought on Don Mattingly, and they've been a really good baseball team. I know the Astros have been the best baseball team in the AL since May 20. I don't know how that stacks up with what the Phillies have done, but they stunk. They fired their guy, brought Mattingly in, and they're a contender now. And Bryce Harper hopes they add to their roster. I throw it on there, Sean. Don Mattingly pretty much says Bryce Harper don't know ball. He doesn't understand how all this works. So just let me know when you have it. It's interesting to see your star player ask for help and the manager go, former accomplished player himself, go, knock it off. You don't know how this works. We remember back
for
the Astros when they won their first World Series, it was Dallas Keuchel saying, we need to do something. I don't remember anyone coming out and going, shut up, Dallas. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, they went out and
got Verlander and changed the entire fortunes of the franchise as the team in the clubhouse was kind of waning, if we remember back then, not getting someone at what now is the only trade deadline, but at the time we did have the waiver deadline, not getting anyone put the team in a bit of a tailspin, and then they go get Verlander, and the rest is history. Bryce Harper. You'll hear Bryce Harper first, courtesy of NBC Philly.
It's still
loading.
Yeah, it's just been loading forever.
This is the product of you having an old-school baseball manager. Like, this guy played...
Someone named Donnie Baseball?
Yeah, this is a product of him kind of pushing back on, I guess you want to say, the new-age player. It's right in line with Mario Elie earlier that John found the sound and played it, where Mario Elie was talking about how back in his day, guys didn't team up with each other to go win a title. He was discussing LeBron James and his movement around the league, and he just mentioned his time with Dream and Jordan. Those guys never decided they ever wanted to play together. It's in that same way of thinking, because I imagine Don Mattingly would say, players shouldn't be talking about this. This isn't really their business. He probably didn't do it when he was a player. He's been a manager for a bit now in a couple of different spots. He might have been a Marlins manager at some point, and now he's the – I don't know if they've made him the permanent manager, but he is the guy leading the Phillies right now as their interim. Yeah, he was the Dodgers manager, the Marlins manager, now he's a Phillies manager, and, of course, was a great Yankee for a long, long time. So here is Don Mattingly. But first, you'll hear Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need some help, you know. But, you know, I think we've proved, you know, pretty much all year we've done a pretty good job. But, you know, anytime you can, you know, get some help in here and reinforcements, I think it helps.
Bryce said last time to the game he thinks that the team needs a little bit of help at the deadline. Do you sense maybe guys thinking about that or might that be on guys' minds, like, as the deadline gets closer?
Since Bryce thinking about it, I don't really sense anybody else thinking about it, honestly. And you've been through this. Guys want to be GMs, what you need, without a real understanding of where the organization is, exactly what where this thing goes, not only this year, but moving forward. So, again, players like being GMs and making calls and spending other people's money. So, let's let it go with that. I mean, Dave's been doing this a while. He's never really backed away from trying to get guys. We're trying to get better. You know, we're going to try to get better at the deadline. So, leave it at that.
The Dave he mentioned was Dave Dombrowski, longtime baseball exec. General manager for the Expos, the Marlins, the Tigers, Red Sox, and now the Phillies. Hey, Bryce, stop trying to spend other people money.
Yeah, shut up and know your role.
Yeah, shut up and swing the bat.
Yeah, that's what George Steinbrenner would have said if Don Mattingly tried to get that off.
That's probably where some of this energy is coming from. But he did it in a less rude way. He just would like Bryce Harper to get out there and swing the bat. Stop telling us what we should do. We're trying to get better.
He dropped a spending other people's money.
Like yeah. They love, all these players love to spend other people's money. Mm-hmm. We don't have that type of action here. Can you imagine Joe Espada sitting casually in the dugout before a game going, yeah, Jeremy Peña.
Yeah.
I mean, no one else is feeling the way Jeremy's feeling.
If Hinch did that to Keuchel, they actually would not have won the World Series.
They would not have won the World Series. Keuchel did it. No one really reacted in a way that, certainly not like Mattingly.
They're very diplomatic.
And in fact, Jim Crane was like, you know what? We need some help.
Good note.
And they got,
get on it.
And they got it done. We'll see if the Phillies listen to Bryce Harper or they just tell him to shut up and swing the bat like Mattingly did before the game yesterday. All right. We're done for the day, Sean. So what's it going to be?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Nope.
It's been a minute.
Since
I asked.
Thank you for checking in. I will check in with you guys on Spider-Man tomorrow because I'm going to go see it. AJ might already be in a theater. We'll talk about that and more with Michael Carroll at 11:30 as he always joins us on Friday. All right. Rich Eisen up next. And then is it Jeremy and Joe? They follow Rich Eisen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.